When God says, go, we're called to respond. Verses 52 and 53, and Jesus sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. It gets a little interesting when you get to this part of the passage. I don't know if you've done much understanding, if you've read into this, and sometimes when we read passages of Scripture, it's really good for you to have a companion, and I'm not meaning another person, but a companion, maybe like a concordance or something, even a commentary alongside of it, because as you read this, you could just go, oh, well, the people in Samaritan didn't like Jesus, didn't want Jesus, they just didn't, and they just kept on going through. But the reality is this, there's a couple of things. Samaritan's a small village, and it could have been that Jesus was traveling with a large number of people. And this large number of people begins to approach this small village, and they're going, we can't handle you people. And they sent them on. And there's another thought that goes along with this that is also even more diabolical, if you will, that the Samaritans hated the Jews. And because Jesus was going to be with Jerusalem and be in Jerusalem, it's like, you going there? We don't want you around here. I hope nobody's ever felt like that here. We don't want you here. But that's exactly what happened. What do you do if God says, I want you to go, but you might actually have to go through a difficult place? There might be a difficult journey in store for you. When I heard this passage, and I'm beginning on the front side, and I'm like, yes, God called me to go, and I'm super duper excited, yay. And then I had to go pack up my house, and then I had to go do some things, and I had to go tell a bunch of people that I was going to go to college, and they went like, what, you're going to go to college? What, are you dumb? I mean, it was just this whole thing kept on going and going, and I actually got called into a difficult place. But what I had was this word from God that said, if you're being called to go do something, go do it. Don't let the grass grow. Just go. You see, there's something incredible that happens when God says go and you respond accordingly. Sometimes you're sitting here and you've heard messages, you know, 100 times, and you're like, okay. But every single time God's word is opened up, you are called to pay attention and you are called to respond accordingly. What do you do when God says go? Here's the second one. Stay on track. Would you agree with me that there are many times in which we can get off track when God says go? Oh, look, a chicken. And you're just like marching along, and it's like, hey, look, a little bouncing red ball. Let me go play with that. There's many different times in which we can do things. We think we're on track with God, but here's what begins to happen. We need to stay on track. Jesus encountered that, verses 54 and 55. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, what they see, the Samaritan village dissing Jesus, right? They asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. I think this is awesome. Three words. Sons of thunder, also known as James and John. DeVore. John has a brother, James. Picked weeds together. Hey, Jesus, I got a brilliant idea. How about we call down thunder from heaven and just burn the joint up? Wouldn't that be great? And Jesus is like going, James, John, come on. Let's focus. Focus. We're not here to burn up villages. We're not here to follow red bouncing balls. We're not here to go, look, a chicken. We're here to do and stay on track. And if there's anything that God wants us to be able to do is to stay on track. If there's anything that Satan wants to be able to do for us and to us is to get us off track. See how that works? Satan does not want you to fulfill God's mission in your life. So we'll get you to chase whatever little thing, and if it really means calling down fire from heaven and burning something up. But honestly, Satan will use anything, and I literally mean anything, to get us off from the track that he has got us on. Verses 23 through 25, it's just a little bit earlier than when this happened, but he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" I've heard this passage of Scripture preached, taught, repeated more times, and most of the time it's incorrect. Listen, when you're going through a difficult time, don't say, "Oh, well, that must be my cross I've got to bear." When you're going through a hard journey and you're like, "Oh, well, this is my cross and this is a difficult thing I'm going through," there is a reason for a cross. And every single time that there's a cross stood up in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, a cross means death. You're welcome. So when Jesus said to the disciples, "Listen, if anybody's going to come after me, you got to deny himself and pick up his cross daily." Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean like, "Oh, you're going to go through some difficult times. Somebody's going to be, there's going to be three people in front of you at Starbucks." Not, you know, that's not it, folks. Picking up your cross daily is this: you're making the decision that your plan dies. Your will for your life dies so that God's plan and God's will can live. But unless your plan is God's plan, God's going to let you work your plan out until your plan flames out, and then God's going to say, "Are you ready to call me so that we can work it out?" So we're called to deny ourselves, pick up our cross every single day, because there's at that place, there's that place of staying on track and choosing God over myself. I have a question for you. Is there anything that you can see right now that's getting in the way of you appropriately responding and following God's will for your life? Is there anything that's getting in the way? If there's something, anything that's getting in the way, then go away from and go to what God's calling you to do. What do you do when God says no, go? No, go. What do you do when God says go? Fulfill promises that are made. You ever find it easy to make a promise to God? You know, God delivers you from whatever you've prayed to God. I mean, you know, it's kind of like this. I mean, I could have said some ridiculous things yesterday. I'm praying to God by the side of my car for my grandson. And I could have said, "God, if you heal him, I will fill in the blank. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I promise, God." You know, and sometimes, have you ever been there? I can't be the only one in this room that's ever been there. But if you've been there, you know what it's like. "God, I'll do. I promise I'll do. And so I say to you, before I read the scripture, be careful what promises you make to God. Verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." Doesn't that sound easy? Now remember, at this point in time, Jesus is a rock star in the country. I mean, it's like he's got this whole entourage. People are chilling with him. He's healing people. They're on the way. And he's like, "Oh, I'm with him. I mean, this Jesus guy, woohoo." And so, of course, it's easy at that point for people to say, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Because the path seems easy. It seems fun. It seems like this is a lot of greatness going on here. Verses 58 through 61, Jesus replied and said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But that man replied back to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." What do you do when following God takes you through a difficult place? We've made promises to God. This is the part that gets a little interesting. When we fail to fulfill the promise that we've made to God, sometimes things got in the way. Sometimes we allow things to get in the way. Like, well, first, let me go say goodbye to my family. I mean, really, is that all bad? Doesn't sound too bad to me. It's not like he's, "Hey, let me go get drunk first and then I'll go." That's not it. It's let me go bury my dead father. Well, that doesn't sound bad. But here's the point. When God says go, fulfill the promise. Fulfill the promise. Jesus says, "Okay, follow me." "Oh, yeah, but first let me go back and say goodbye." No, if you've said, "I will follow you wherever you go," then get up and go. And maybe right now you're in this place of saying, "Well, the Lord has been nudging me. I'm being called to do ABC, fill in the blank. I'm called to respond in a certain way." And whatever God is calling you to do, you confirm that it's God, not you having a bad day or a good day. You confirm that it's God, and then you set out with steadfastness on that journey that God is calling you to. Don't wait. Don't wait. What do you do when God says, go? This is the final point. Do it. Isn't it just too easy to just say, do it? When I sat there in Colorado Springs at First Church on a Sunday night, listening to the speaker say these same words, listen, if God's calling you to go do something, you can't go do anything else. And in your own heart and in your own life, if God's calling you to move towards something, or if God's calling you to move away from something, you can't go do anything else but that. Because if you do, you will be in disobedience to what God's calling you to do. Your heavenly Father saying, go do this. If God says go, do it. Luke 9:52. 962, for those of you that are correcting me, who are you? Luke 962, Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." What on earth does this mean? Anybody know? It's this. If you're plowing, some of you don't even know what a plow is. Okay, so if you're pushing a shopping cart through Costco, we'll equate that to plowing. It's really good that if you're pushing the shopping cart that you're looking forward and you're moving down the aisle. Because at the end of the aisle is a really good sample. I got to get there. So you're going like this, but you can't go down the aisle because I've been there too many times when someone's pushing their cart and they keep looking back. And every time they look back, they turn their cart and they block the aisle because I want to get to the samples. Nobody who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for service. Here's what that is. Looking back is actually doubting. Looking back is actually like, wait a minute, okay, am I supposed to be on this? Am I supposed to be here? Because I'm not sure. I thought I was back here, but now I'm supposed to be here. And I've learned this. You can't look forward and you can't look backward at the same time. You can't look up and you can't look down at the same time. You can do one or the other, but you can't do both. Have you ever doubted what you thought God was actually calling you to do? And God's saying this, just as he said, Jesus said to his disciples, no one's fit for the service if they're looking back all the time. Look forward. You just keep looking forward. God's calling you to do something. Do you trust what God's asking you to do? Some of you are going, well, I'm not really sure. So let me do this. Do you trust God? And if you trust God, then you trust what he's doing in your life. Even if it doesn't make sense. So we piled our family from Colorado Springs. We drove 1,200 miles to pack up a house, to turn around and hand keys to someone and said, we don't know what God's doing, but we have an idea that God's doing something. Here's the keys to our house. Peace out. We're going to Colorado Springs. And we set out with steadfastness and resolve and said, God, we will follow you. We will do whatever you're calling us to do. Because I believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? And if God's for you, who can be against you? And so you follow God. You choose to follow God. Don't doubt. When God says go, get up and go. Paul teaches us this passage from Philippians. I deviated from my promise of being exegetical for one verse. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. You have to define it. It is the completion of God's will in Paul's life. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What do you do when God says, go? You press on. 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 What's God saying to you today? It's a real simple question, but I believe that there's enough going on in here that I believe that God's saying something to somebody here today. That God's just working in here. Just being able to say, I believe that in your own life, God's saying something. For the Wheat family, it's go to South Carolina. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy God's grace and his peace. But for some of you, it might be something completely different. And that's okay. And what's even better is that full understanding that God is asking you to do something. So, I would love to hear from you. Maybe not now, but maybe in the days or week or a couple of weeks, who knows? For you to be able to say, Pastor, when you said that, this is what's going on in my life. And I just want you and I want the church to know that God's working in my life and working in this church. Pretty simple, huh? Stand and let us close in a word of prayer.